Good morning. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan displayed in all kinds of counterfeit, miracles, signs, and wonders, and in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sent them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie, and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth but have delighted in wickedness.
Amen. And now I welcome our today's preacher, Tekleab Hart from Amsterdam. He's a church elder at the Ethiopian Church.
Good morning again. Now, the Word of God, that's our treasure. That's what God has given us. So it has to be central in whatever we believe and in whatever we plan. That's our guiding plan. That's the central thing in our life. So I'm happy to share from the Word of God with you. And I believe that in the short time, I'm going to share with you about the subject I have prepared. I believe that will reach you. Sometimes it's just a word that can change imant, that can change someone. So you can hear, you can listen while, you know, correct me, you know, not saying, oh, you said this and that, but, oh, he means that, you know. So you correct, you hear me while correcting, because I speak the whole week other language, and now I speak English, so I might forget, and I can speak another word, and you might not understand what it is, but if you follow me, the whole context, then you will understand. Sometimes it happens that I speak to someone, and that person, he looks at me, and I say, why doesn't he understand? He said, what are you speaking? And it happens that I was speaking French to that person. So with people who speak many languages, different languages, it can happen that they can mix. So you forgive all my mistakes. So you have received the title I'm going to preach about. Watch out that nobody deceives you. Let's read two places where we can read about being deceived. And that is the first one is in Galatians. Chapter 6, verse 7. There, Paul is speaking to the Galatians and saying, number 7, chapter 6, verse 7, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Here, Paul is just reminding the people that we cannot deceive ourselves. Just, you know, do whatever we like. Watch out. You will reap from whatever you sow, you reap. Once we had a discussion with family members and friends, and someone who is very near to me, she started saying, now, there is no truth, no lie. You know, everything is the same. Oh, yeah? And I stood up. I started to hit her. Not hard, of course. You know, to slap her. She said, what are you doing? What are you doing? I said, you just said there is no difference between good or bad, wrong or right. So that I slap you or not slap you is the same. Oh, well, now I understand. Okay, she said. You know? So we cannot deceive ourselves by saying, I can live whatever I like, the way I can believe whatever I want, and just go through life like that. No, do not be deceived. You shall reap whatever you sow. That's the first thing as introduction. The second one, which is mainly about the subject of today, is found in Matthew chapter 24, where the disciples, you know, they heard Jesus speaking about the last days. He was speaking, he was saying this temple, because they were showing him the temple, saying, look, have you seen this beautiful temple? How nice it is, etc. And then he told them, all the stones will be fallen down. And then he told them things. Then later on they came alone to him and they asked him, Lord, when are these things going to happen? When are you going to come back, and what will be the signs of your second coming? Then the first thing he said is very important. He started, you know, I begin with what in chapter Matthew chapter 24, verse 3 and 4. I start with the question they ask him. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you. He started by saying to them, watch out. Watch out that no one will deceive you. And then, of course, he tells about, you know, the catastrophes or the earthquakes, the famine, and the problems that will come to the world as one of those signs. But he started to say, watch out that no one will deceive you. You know, we Christians, we have a very strong enemy. Because we are set free from his kingdom, from the kingdom of darkness. Because Jesus has made from us new creation. We tend to despise our enemy. That's not what the Bible teaches us. You never read in the Bible somewhere where it says, despise your enemy. You know, just count him as nothing. No. The Bible says, your enemy is going round you as a roaring lion, as a hungry lion, to looking for somebody to eat. So, watch out and resist him by faith. And Jesus is saying here, watch out. Why do we have to watch out? Because we have an enemy. And this enemy, the devil, now, if we see to some of the names he is given in the Bible, now, he is called the father of lies. Lying for him is as natural as breathing air for us. He can lie just like that. He is the father of all lies. He is a liar. He is a murderer. He comes only to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He is a tempter. He can look every opportunity to tempt us. He even dared to tempt the Lord Jesus. He is, I will say a word in Dutch because it describes his character. Onbeschoft, they say, right? He is not gentle. He's not, there is no gentleness in him. He dares do things, you know, very terrible, you know, like tempting his own creator, the Lord Jesus. If you are the Son of God, why don't you do this and that? Let's see. So we have such an enemy. And he's called some of other names. He is wicked. And for our subject today, he is a deceiver. He can deceive. And Jesus said, watch out that no one deceives you. People that are already deceived, but that are out to deceive others. Now, about this deceiver, we can read from the first book in the Bible and the last that is one of his main character. The first parents, our first parents, Adam and Eve. Now, he came to Eve and he deceived her. When the Lord asked, what have you done? And she said, the serpent has deceived me. In Genesis. Now let's see in Revelation chapter 20. You know that on a given moment Satan will be bound for 1,000 years, and the Bible tells us then after 1,000 years he has to be set free for a while. Now, I have met people in Amsterdam that told me, "I'm just out of the prison. Please give me money. Where can I buy hashish or drugs?" These people, they have been in prison for maybe months or years, and the moment they get out, not all of them, of course, but this is as an example, the moment they get out from the prison, because they are not free from the inside, they just go back to their old bondage. Where can I have drugs? Where can I buy cocaine, heroin? Can you tell me? Or can you give me a little bit of money so that I go back to my old habit? That's what they say. Now, the devil, Satan, he is bound 1,000 years. And then he's set free for a while. What does he do? Let's read it. Chapter 20, verse 7 and 10. When the 1,000 years are over, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations in the four corners of the earth. The first thing he does is to go and deceive the nations. And it tells us there were, thousands, millions, these people that lived peacefully for 1,000 years. And then in a while, he managed to deceive them and bring them as a huge army against the city of the king, against Jerusalem. Of course, he was destroyed and the people were killed. But the moment he was set free, the first thing he does was to deceive. And that was a success, to deceive the people. They didn't say, "No, we don't follow you because this king is the Prince of Peace. He has given us long years. We can, live. We don't have to fear the lion or the bear or the snake because of the king. We can live happily. We can cultivate our garden." They didn't say that. They just were deceived. So that's our enemy. And the Lord said, so watch out not to be deceived. And let us see what is to be deceived. What is deception? To answer that, let me go first to Matthew chapter 7. Because that will help us see what is deception. I don't say that because you don't know, but, it can be to remind you of whatever you have heard and whatever you know. Chapter 7, verse 13. Jesus is speaking about the two roads and the two gates. Chapter 7, verse 13. "Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. And only a few find it." Now the question to us is, the road that leads to destruction is very wide. And multitudes are going on it. Jumping, singing, happily. If you see them, they seem to enjoy life. Now the question is, how come these people, so many people, are going on this wide road? What is the answer according to you? If just one person tell me something, what do you think? Why? Why do they go on this road? It's easy, okay. It's easy, but I answer with another. Of course, it is easy because it is a wide road, so you can go links if you want. You can go right if you want. You can go back if you want. You can whatever do because it's you do what you want. It's not like the Lord taught us, "Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." You know, it's not narrow. It's not limited by God's will. It is, I want. For me, this is good. Maybe for you, it's not good, but for me, it's good. So whatever you tell me as good, you keep it for yourself, because for me, it's good. So everybody follows his own way. But the real reason is because they are deceived. That is, deception means all these people, they don't say, we are going on this road because we know destruction is waiting for us. No. Ask anybody on the street. Ask them, do you know you are going to hell? They tell you, no, I'm going to heaven. And yet, they worship idols, for example. Or they live in sin. They think they are going to heaven. So they are deceived. And being deceived means following something you think it is true while it is completely false. That is being deceived. So the person, the deceived person, thinks he is right. He is okay. He's good. His end will be all right. He believes it while it's completely false. And that is what the devil tries to do, to bring in front of us something that is totally wrong, and yet we think it is right. The first one to be deceived was Eve. When Eve took the fruit, she didn't believe anymore at that moment that she was going to die, because she believed the lie of the devil. She believed she was going to be like God, knowing good and bad, but like the devil said, she was not going to die. She believed it. She believed a lie. So, and she saw the fruit. She thought with her, you know, at that moment, Eve was not yet fallen in sin. So she can see a fruit, and she can see that this fruit can give knowledge, which is true, which God said. And it tasted good, this fruit. It was nice to eat. So she took it, she ate it, and she gave it to her husband. Do you think when she gave to her husband, she thought he was going to die? No. She never thought she was going to die. She believed a lie. And she thought it was true. The liar thought he told her the truth. No. So that was one, the first person who was being deceived. And we can read in Noah's time. When Noah said, God is going to destroy the world by water, the people laughed at him. They could laugh at him because it never rained before, according to the Bible. So when he built a boat on dry land, so he was a subject of laughter for others, of mocking for others. And yet, they thought they were right, and he was dumb. And yet, it was the other way around. The moment they entered in, it didn't rain immediately. The Bible says, once Noah and his children and his wife and the wife of his children and the animals were inside, God closed it, and there were 1 week more before the rain and the waters started to come. And yet the people, they were relaxed. But then suddenly, water came from above and from under, and they were all destroyed because they thought, they believed nothing will happen. By Sodom and Gomorrah, that's what happened. You know, God said, the angel said to Lot, go and look if you have families. Tell them to escape from the coming destruction. So the Bible says, you can read it in Genesis 19. He said to some of his families, come, because God is going to destroy the city. You know what the Bible says? They mocked him. They thought he was just joking. They didn't believe. So they felt safe. And what happened next? They were destroyed because they didn't believe. We have a lot of examples in the Bible of people that have been deceived. Now, what is the main reason for people to be deceived? What is the big door We read it. We read it in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and there we read God was going to punish or to judge these people for two reasons. Because they had no love of the truth. The truth was not central. You know that Jesus said, you will just follow the, leave my, do my words, live in my words, and you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. But in the world, the truth is not central. Maybe it is like, is it nice, you know? Does it taste good? Do you have good feelings? Do you have goose in your body, you know, when you have that? Whether true or not, that's not the matter. I remember one person, he had some religious clothes on the streets in Amsterdam. I wanted to testify to him about the gospel. I said, excuse me, sir, you look like you are a seeker of the truth. He said, yeah. And I said, do you want to find it? He said, no. I said, how come? You are a seeker of the truth and you don't want to find it. He said, I don't want to find it. You know what's nice for me? The experience, you know, the suspense of looking you know, of waiting and not finding the truth. That's not the point. It is the suspense, just like kermis, you know, just going up, down. You have to do this, that. So that's what excites him and not the truth itself. So God will judge people because they don't have the love of the truth. And secondly, they don't believe the truth. This is big door for people to be led in deception, to be deceived. That is the main reason the Bible gives us why people can be deceived in these last days. Now, there are some ways the devil used to deceive us. And the first thing, the main thing is to distort the Word of God. He attacks our faith in the Word of God. You know, did God said, you know, he brought as subject, the devil brought the subject, did God said, you know, the Word of God, he brought it. And then, no. Here, when God said you will die, he doesn't mean you are going to die. It's only because he doesn't want you to be like him. Otherwise, you won't die. So, he distorted the Word of God. So, to distort the Word of God, to add to the Word of God, to take away something from the Word of God, that is what the devil say, what the devil do to try to deceive us. That is his main attack. So the moment we lose the faith, our faith in the Word of God, then we are going to be victims of deception, because then, you know, we will just follow whatever things are said contrary to the Word of God, because we don't trust him. If we say, yeah, this is Paul's attitude, it is John's, but it's not God's. No, the Bible tells us that holy people spoke led by the Spirit of God. This is inspired of Word of God. And whatever, I believe it is also in this congregation, that the fundament statement of faith is, we believe that the Bible is the Word of God. The moment you lose that, then you are open to all kind of illusion, all kind of deception. Second is the devil, he tries to cheat us by signs, false signs and miracles. That's what we read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that big deceiver, he will send his main agent to deceive the whole world. He will make miracles. People will be amazed. They will say, who is like him? Why? Because he did this and he did that. So miracles are one of the techniques false miracles. Of course, God is a miracle worker. Our God is mighty. He can do everything. Nothing is too difficult for him. He is, praise God, he is a miracle worker. But the devil, he tries to make counterfeits, things that look like the things that God does. You know, we can read it like in Jesus said, after he said, watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name claiming I am the Christ and will deceive many. And if we read, 23, 27 of the same chapter, it says, chapter 24, just as an example, at that time, if anyone says to you, look here, the Christ, or there he is, do not believe it, for false Christ and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and miracles to deceive even the elect, if that were possible. See, I have told you ahead of time. So by miracles, false miracles, the devil can try to deceive us. So we have to test every miracle, every so-called revelation by the Word of God. If it doesn't agree with the Word of God, then we can say it is not from God. That's what Paul said to Galatians. If an angel come from heaven, even if we come again to you and tell you something different from what we said from the gospel, let that person, let that angel be accursed. So the word of God is eternal. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. So we read there about the Antichrist, how he deceives the nations in chapter 13, verse 13 to 14. It says, and he performed great and miraculous signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to earth in full view of men. Because of the signs he was given power to do on behalf of the first beast, he deceived the inhabitants of the earth. So that is one of the techniques we will need. The discerning spirit, the gift of discerning of spirits from God. And that starts by the Word of God, because the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword that can go inside of us, dividing soul and spirit and thoughts and whatever. He can make the discerning, because the Word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. So it starts from here. And it continues with the gift of the Spirit that will tell us this is of God, this is not, because it is written. The devil can come with something written, but like the Lord said, we can say it is also written. It has to agree with the whole scriptures, not with part. Another third reason why people can be deceived, and that is, for us, very important when we read in Matthew chapter 22, verse 29, people came to the Lord Jesus, people who didn't believe in the resurrection. Because according to them, yeah, if there will be resurrection, then there will be a lot of problem. Still, imagine, there was a woman, she was married to a man, and the man died without having a child from her. So according to the Jewish religion, his brother, he can marry her so that he leaves a child in the name of the dead one. But this one also died. And there were seven brothers. So all of them married this woman without having a child. So finally, the woman died. So now if there is a resurrection, now tell us whose wife she will be, because she has been married to seven people. For them, that was a problem. So they have concluded there is no resurrection. And Jesus answered them, chapter 22, Matthew, verse 29. He said to them, Jesus replied, you are in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God. of course, then he tells them that indeed there is a resurrection, that by the after resurrection there is no marrying and giving in marriage. There is no, it's not the system of this world. But the first thing he told them is you err or you make a mistake or you go wrong because you don't know the scriptures. Now, a Christian, he has to know the scriptures. Otherwise, we will err. I can give you a story from my own, from our nation, Ethiopia. Once I read, somebody sent, you know, Facebook, the Ten Commandments. I say Ten Commandments. I read them. But the from the ten, nine were from the Ten Commandments. But the tenth, the so-called tenth, was not part of the Ten Commandments. They took out that tenth commandment because that was a big, big stumbling block for the Coptic Church. Because that verse says, one of the Ten Commandments, do not make image of things that are in heaven, of things that are on earth and under the earth in the sea. Don't make image or statues. Don't worship them. Don't adore them. Because I am a jealous God. I will judge those who deny my word and bless those who respect my word. I say it in my word. So they took away this word and they put in instead of have your neighbor, love your neighbor as yourself, which was not one of the ten. Jesus said, of course, love God and love your neighbor. And this is summed up the whole Old Testament, the whole law. But they took away from that, because if you go to Ethiopia to churches, then you'll see beautiful paintings and painted in gold, painted in silver, and people bowing and worshiping. If they put that, then people will tell them, hey, why do you do things that are not in the Bible? So they are misled because they don't know the scriptures. So if we don't know the scriptures and we don't know the power of God, then we can be misled. And the two more reasons I give, and by the way, we know what we have to do, not to be deceived, of course, because Jesus said, watch out. So we have our own responsibility. And the one before the last is, because if we are not transformed by the renewing of our mind, if we are carnal, if we we are not daily transformed by, you know, by being led by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God, if we see things by our carnality, by our logic, by our only being man, then we can be deceived. You know, some religion, they say, they deny the resurrection. Why? Now, how is it possible now that once a person is dead, he is ash? How can he stand up? He meant then, in an allegorical way, in an, you know, symbolic way. Maybe it's only the spirit that rises, not the body. You have so-called Christian religions that deny the resurrection of the body. I give you just one word from the Bible. It is found in John 2, I think 18 and 19. Jesus was looking to everybody was looking to the temple. They were showing the temple. Look how beautiful this temple. And Jesus said, destroy this temple. I'll build it up in 3 days. Then they said, the people who heard that, they said, how can you do that? It took about more than 46 years to build this temple. And he says, he will build it up in 3 days. But the Bible, when you read in that particular passage, says, but Jesus was speaking about the temple of his body. That means the body was also resurrected. Of course, not weak anymore. It was glorified, but it was that same body. He showed it. He ate. He went with it, and he will come with it. And that means that we believers, if we die, we will be also resurrected, and we will receive a body that is like him. So people, when they are led by carnal mind, they will say, oh, five bread and two fishes to 5,000 people. It doesn't mean he gave exactly to 5,000 just the men. That is symbolic. That means if you love one another, then, you know, a little bit, you can share it. It doesn't mean exactly that those five bread, they were multiplied. You see, when you are carnal-minded, when you don't know the power of God, then you bring the things, the acts of God, as if they were symbolic, but not really happened. So that carnal mind can lead people to be deceived. But we believe in a God that have created heaven and earth by his word, that have divided the sea of the Red Sea for the Israelite to cross on dry land, really, and that he divided, he distributed those five breads and two fishes for more than 5,000 people. And the rest, it says in the Bible, Jesus said, gather. And it was gathered more than what it was first, more than 12 baskets of loaf of bread. And last is man can be deceived if they follow the multitude. I remember one in a country where there were millions of people. I told this person about the gospel, and one big question came in front of him. He said, do you mean all these million, they are wrong? I said, yes. The Bible says, if you have no Jesus, you have no life. That is the testimony of God. If you have the Son of God, you have life. If you don't have the Son of God, you don't have life. So in Exodus 23, that's what the Bible tells us, don't follow the multitude, you know, when they go and say something. Exodus 23, it says there, verse 2, do not follow the crowd in doing wrong. When you give testimony in a lawsuit, do not pervert justice by siding with the crowd. You remember in the Acts of the Apostles, they start to say, Aphrodite is great, Aphrodite is great. And the whole people started to shout with them. Many of them didn't know what was about, but they just followed the multitude. So if we don't follow the truth, if we don't follow Jesus, if you don't make the word of God above all, then, you know, we can be misled. We can be deceived. So we live in a time where such things will happen because Jesus spoke about it. He said, what will happen? What will be the signs of the end time? Watch out. Take heed that no man deceives you. For many shall come in my name and deceive many. But I believe as long as we make the Lord first, his word first, and we take care to read the word of God as Christians, then the Holy Spirit will remind us the right word at the right moment. But is it written? It is written. And we can shield the attacks of the enemy, and God will lead us to victory. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you warn us all the time. You tell us beforehand of things that will happen so that we are prepared, so that we do not slumber, so that we are not deceived by whatever comes apparently in your name. Lord, we pray that you give us a big love for your word, so that we fill ourselves with your word. And Lord, help us to count on you, not on our own logic, not on our own knowledge, but to count on you, Lord, to withstand all the things that will happen in our age. Father, we thank you, we bless you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.